Welcome aboard, folks. Here we are to another Friday edition of Your Voice Counts. Thank you very much for joining us on this very fine radio station. It's an honor to be on RBN, and we're glad to be here to tell our story and get the truth out. You know, I go through a lot of things during the week that I hear, and this and that and the other, and what should be said and what shouldn't be said, and I just want to kind of keep to the script. And the script is, you know, this show is done in honor to never forget my fallen shipmates and the shipmates that listen to this show and their families. You know, these men were cut down in cold blood on the high seas by our supposed ally, the government of Israel. Israel knew 8 to 9 hours before the fact that our flag was flying. They positively identified our flag. And guess what? Guess what, folks? They relayed the messages back to their headquarters and said, yeah, we know it's an American ship. We have it on our war table. So apparently there wasn't any trouble at that point. So what we ended up getting was, after all this exposure, that Israel knew that we were there in international waters off the coast of Sinai. And I will continue with this, but I wanted to make sure that my special guest was on the line, and I'll get him on just as soon as I get done with my Liberty business, which I always do. Our special guest tonight is let's put it this way. He's a true American hero in his own right. He's no sleeping beauty. And he came from the loins of a hero, a man that gave his life every day for the United States of America. That man would be Francis Gary Powers. And if you don't know who he is, you don't know anything about the Cold War, what was going on over Russia, and who knows where else. But this man is a American icon, an American hero, and we'll get into that in just a few minutes as soon as I get over my Liberty business, which I have to do. And thank you, Gary, for joining the show. Just hang on, please, till I get this done, and then we'll get you on air, and we'll go from there. But folks, as I was telling you, our ship was positively identified by the IDF. Folks, we're going to go on to a break here. I hear the music coming on. So support your sponsors on RBN, please. You know, they're the people who keep this thing going. Real news, real talk, because you can't handle the truth. Thank you. I will hear.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy 3 Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Gardener.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hey there, my name is Frank Bates. What I'm about to tell you in the next 60 seconds could get me in a lot of trouble. I just created a free video presentation at 123crooks.com that exposes the electricity monopolies and government agencies for what they really are. Incompetent, lying crooks that are counting on your ignorance and fear to keep your power bills criminally high. Some have called this a conspiracy. Others have called it a cover-up. And you'll be shocked to find out how deep the conspiracy goes. My video at 123crooks.com exposes the truth and shows you the secret of how I beat them and how you can beat them too. Watch the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go to 123crooks.com and discover one weird trick to slash your power bill and protect your home. Go watch my video now at 123crooks.com before they force me to shut it down. 123crooks.com.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Welcome back, folks. Here we go to the first part of Your Voice Counts, and thank you very much for listening. My name is Phil Turney, USS Liberty survivor, three-time president of the USS Liberty Veterans Association. I've held every office in that association. I think anybody could, but anyway, folks, I want to get back to the beginning here, or let's go in the middle here, of what happened that day, and I'll tell you what happened. 294 Americans were aboard the USS Liberty. There were over 850 cannon and rocket holes in our ship. Over 5,000 armor-piercing bullets, napalm burning us up, and a 40-by-40-foot hole in the starboard side that almost sank us. They shot the only three remaining life rafts that we had aboard the USS Liberty. Now, folks, we had enough life rafts for 294 souls plus. We dropped them over the side, and as soon as we put the life rafts over the side, guess what happened? The Israeli torpedo boats shot them out of the water. They shot two out of the water and took one aboard the boat, I guess as a trophy. I heard it was in a museum somewhere in Israel as a trophy. Can you believe that? As a trophy of killing American souls on the high seas. It's just unbelievable. I still can't believe it. And I was there. You know, they took their best shot, and they didn't put us on the bottom. But I'll tell you what, they certainly have gotten away with war crimes over and over and over. You know, in this two-hour attack, 34 Americans were slaughtered. 174 others were wounded, including myself and many, many others. And a friend of mine is going to be coming on the show here in a minute. Mr. Ron Kukul will be on our show to help us, get things straightened out. But here for 45 years plus, the government of the United States has hidden this, covering up for Israel and the slaughter of Americans on the high seas. These young men didn't deserve to die like that. On the high seas, doing what we were ordered to do. It's despicable, dishonest, and it could happen again and again and again. And I'll tell you what, in my view, it has been happening. We fought a war in Iraq for Israel, and we're fighting a war right now for Israel. In Afghanistan, they want to get us in two more, in Iran and Syria. Folks, that can't happen. This country is going down, and it's going to go down fast. I really want a special thanks to Kat Faber, and her husband for getting such fine guests along with Ron Kukul and others as we have tonight. One of the finest guests we've had on this radio program. And I certainly appreciate Mr. Powers taking the time, to hang on there for just a few minutes and so I can get this business done. But also, Kat, your songs are so beautiful, inspirational. You are just an angel. And thank you, Kat, for your contribution to the USS Liberty and to America. And I also want to say congratulations on your dad's heart surgery today. I heard it went very, very well. And please tell your dad, Harley, and his beautiful wife, we're thinking of him. Get well soon, and all of your family. I'm glad you came together and everything worked out, and I appreciate it so much. Also, folks, go to my very, very good friend, former intelligence officer aboard the USS Liberty, Lieutenant John Gadusko, one of the finest men I've ever had the chance of coming around. I didn't work for John, but I sure would have liked to, but I wasn't a CT. I wasn't qualified, but anyway, he's done so much for the USS Liberty. You must go to his site. It's tinyurl.com/ USS Liberty. tinyurl.com/ USS Liberty. Thank you, John. And I hope Betty is getting better. I know she fell too and hurt her foot. And let's make sure Betty gets back on her feet soon and recovers as good as new. With finishing up, I want to thank Republic Broadcasting Network, and especially John Stadtmiller, for giving me the chance, the USS Liberty crew, to pay tribute to one of the greatest ships that ever sailed the seven seas. John has given us a chance to make sure our fallen mates are not forgotten. Not on RBN, not on this radio station. It is very, heartfelt to me to have an American, a true American, as John Stadtmiller, let us get the facts out. He wants no more false flags on America, as I do not. And let's just pray Israel does not go ahead and do what they say they're going to do and fight or try to get us in war with Iran or Syria. I don't think that they could handle it themselves, so they want us to do it for them. And I'm not really, really too happy about that. But what are we going to do? Now, I'm going to read a little bio here of my guest. And I want you to listen to this, folks, because it's very, very interesting. And it's something that I think all Americans should know. And I hope that you will. Okay, let me get it on here. Okay, just a second. I apologize, Gary. I'm having computer problems. Let's do it this way. First of all, Gary's father was a U-2 pilot, one of the bravest men that ever flew for the United States of America. Unfortunately, he got shot down in the Cold War by the Russians. And that was a great big embarrassment to the United States of America, a great big embarrassment. But Gary did get back, had a family, and he raised a wonderful, wonderful son that had so many degrees, and that's what I was going to read. But you know what, Gary, all your degrees and all the things and the Cold War Museum that you started and everything else is a tribute to your father, and I know that. I know your father received the Silver Star, sir. And with that being said, let's go ahead and start the show. Thank you, Gary, for coming on. Your voice counts.
All right, Phil, thank you very much for having me on as a guest. It's good to talk to you again.
Good to talk to you. Please go ahead, Gary, and say anything you'd like and start off with your dad or what you're doing.
Oh, sure. Well, thank you, Phil. For the audience members who aren't aware of the U-2 incident, let me give a little recap. My father was one of the first U-2 pilots back in the 50s in a program designed by the CIA in conjunction with President Eisenhower to overfly the former Soviet Union and other Eastern Bloc countries behind the Iron Curtain to bring out information, intelligence information that could be reviewed by the analysts to determine their strengths and weaknesses. In the 50s, there were very few ground agents behind the Iron Curtain. And the U-2 program was developed to take photographic reconnaissance imagery of the ground below that would prepare Eisenhower and the military leaders of the time for surprise attacks and what the Soviets were doing. After 4 or 5 years of successful missions, my father was selected to do the May 1st mission of 1960. It was the last mission to be conducted before the Paris Summit Conference of May 16th of that year. My father took off from Peshawar, Pakistan, May 1st, 1960, flies over the Soviet Union's border at about 68,000 feet, flips on and off the camera switches that will take the photographic imagery of the ground below. He's 4 hours into his mission. He's at an altitude of 70,500 feet over the city of Sverdlovsk. There's a bright orange flash. A shockwave hits the plane. The controls no longer respond. As a result, the nose pitches forward. The wings break off. And my father finds himself spinning down towards the ground in the wreckage. He falls from 70,000 feet to 30,000 feet before bailing out of the aircraft. He does not use the ejection seat. If he did, he would have severed his legs on the way out. The U-2 cockpit's very small, very tight, very compact. In order to eject, you have to be in a perfect position to clear the airframe. Since he couldn't get in that position, he does the following. He opens up the canopy, which floats off into space, undoes his harness, and is immediately sucked up halfway out of the airplane. He's still connected by his air hose. So here he is, halfway in the plane, halfway out of the plane, spinning down towards the ground, in and out of consciousness, being banged around.
Gary, hold that.
Oh, sure, no problem.
We got the music coming on. Folks, what a fascinating show we're going to have here. And so hang on and support your sponsors on RBN. And thank you for listening. We'll be right back. See you in just a few minutes. Thank you.
Hey, meat eaters. The freeze-dry guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dry guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The Freeze Dry Guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes six number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every Meat Eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus Meat Eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the Freeze Dry Guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
Don't answer it! How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plan, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with the resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Welcome aboard, folks. Here we go with our very interesting guest, Mr. Powers, and I hope you don't mind me calling Gary, but I wanted to thank again Kat for her beautiful, beautiful voice and her rendition of, you know, thinking about the crew of the USS Liberty as we think about your father and what he did for this great country and putting his life on the line. No greater man can do anything other than give his life for his country, and your father almost did. I was thinking that was 14 miles up. He was up in the air with the wings coming off his aircraft.
He was about 14 miles up when the missile hit him. It was a near miss. Had the SA-2 missile hit him directly, he would have died in the crash, and the plane would have been blown up into little bitty pits. But since it was a near miss, he was able to bail out of the aircraft. He was able to parachute down to the ground, and there he was apprehended, turned over to the authorities, turned over to the KGB, and then whisked over to Moscow. He found himself there in captivity his first night, May 1st of 1960, there at Lubyanka prison. And then for the next 7 days, he was put through rigorous interrogations prior to a public announcement that he was alive. During those first 7 days, he was lying to his captors outright, holding back as much information as possible, misleading them any way he could. But on May 7th, international headlines around the world indicated that the U-2 had been shot down, that Powers was alive, that he'd be tried for espionage, and that the trial would be sometime in August. On May 7th, the seventh day of the interrogation, the KGB guard in charge of the interrogation team comes rushing into the cell, shoves a newspaper, the New York Times, in my dad's face, yells at him, "You've lied to us. You told us you were trained in Arizona. Well, the New York Times says you were trained in Nevada at Area 51. You might as well tell us everything. We'll get it out of your American press anyways." So all of a sudden, my dad's stuck between a rock and a hard place. If he tells the full truth, he's giving away secrets. If he lies to him, he could get shot, face the death penalty for espionage. So for the next 3 months, during the solitary confinement and the interrogations, he resorts to the following. He tells the full truth when he knows they can verify the information in the press. That helps to give him credibility. He lies to them outright when he knows there's no way they can get the information. Names of pilots, number of missions, specifications about the equipment on board. Then he gives a part truth, a part lie, dances around the subject when he knows they know something about the question they're asking, but not enough to contradict what he was telling them, such as the altitude he was flying. Dad always maintained that he was at the maximum altitude of 68,000 feet when he was shot down. And he did that for two reasons. One was to try to get the message back home to his employers, the CIA, "Hey guys, I'm not telling the full truth." And that was eventually discovered when he was brought back home and debriefed. The other reason was to try to keep other pilots out of harm's way should they continue the missions. U-2s would fly between 70 and 75,000 feet on operational missions. If he could convince the Soviets that he was at the maximum altitude of 68,000 feet to detonate their warheads at that altitude, then he would be keeping a buffer between 2 and 5,000 feet between the other pilots and try to keep them out of harm's way. So that was his tactic for the next 3 months, was to provide as little information as possible that they could verify in the press, and to keep back as much classified information as possible until he was through the interrogations. August 17th, a three-day show trial. Dad was sentenced to 10 years in prison, served that sentence in Vladimir. He served an additional 18 months, 21 months total of captivity, before being exchanged on February 10th of 1962 for Soviet spy Colonel Rudolf Abel. Abel had been caught in New York back in the late 50s, He was serving a 30-year penitentiary term in a federal penitentiary in Georgia. Donovan from New York, an attorney, brokered the deal with an East German spy master. They ended up exchanging my father for Colonel Rudolf Abel on a dark, cold, foggy morning right out of a John Le Carré novel, the Glenicker Bridge, Potsdam, Germany, East meets West. My dad's on one side of the bridge. Rudolf Abel's on the other. They are positively ID'd, and they walk home to their respective freedoms. Rudolf Abel returns home a hero of the Soviet Union, ticker tape parade in his honor, postage stamp in his likeness, medals for his heroics. Dad returns home to an American public that doesn't really know what to think of this. They've read editorials in the newspaper that he had defected, that he had landed the plane intact, that he had spilled his guts and told the Soviets everything he knew, or that he hadn't followed orders and committed suicide. All of which were part-truths, mistruths, innuendos, some speculation of the time. Dad went on to be debriefed by the CIA when he returned home, by Lockheed, was put before a Senate Select Committee hearing in March of 62. Three of the senators there, with their colleagues, were Prescott Bush. Oh, the group music's coming on again. I'll finish this up after the next thing.
Thank you, Gary. We'll be right back on, folks. Support your sponsors on RBN, and thank you, Devin. He is our producer today. He's at the board. He's doing a heck of a job. Thank you again, and again, support RBN, real news, real talk, real people, because you can handle the truth.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
How would you like to own land? A refuge to escape from big cities, possible food shortages, The collapse of the dollar, or just a vacation trip, is now available to you. Lots of fishing and hunting are available just across the Rio Grande River. Own your personal Colorado Wilderness RV lot within three stones' throw of the Rio Grande River for $1,395. Quarter-acre lots, county road access. All lots come with warranty deed. All just for $1,395. Call 785-672-3141. 785-672-3141. Or go online to ColoradoRiverLots.com for more information and to see photos. It is away from civilization, a good business investment, and a low-cost protection plan. Call today, 785-672-3141.
If you would like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself from anything out of bounds concerning cardiovascular or diabetic circulation problems, then this might be the most important ad you'll ever hear. It is possible to acquire a 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation, which works. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. For a long and healthy life, order today by calling 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Order online at heartandbody.com. That's heartandbody.com.
In 2010, millions of people were awakened to the question of what. Now the next question that remains to be answered is, why in the world are they spraying an investigative look into one of the many agendas associated with chemtrail geoengineering programs, weather control? Why in the world are they spraying? Premiering and streaming live August 18th at the three-day event, Consciousness Beyond Chemtrails Conference and Fundraiser in Los Angeles. For more info, go to www.cbclive2012.com. Why in the world are they spraying? Order your copy today at www.whyintheworldaretheyspraying.com. Watch the premiere live August 18th at the three-day event, Consciousness Beyond Chemtrails Conference and Fundraiser in Los Angeles. For more info, go to www.cbclive2012.com. Why in the world are they spraying?
And if you control the weather, you're going to control the planet. It's that simple.
Welcome back, folks. Here we go to Your Voice Counts. Phil Turney, your guest, and we also have another person online we're going to bring up here in just a little bit, Ron Kukul, former communications technician, spy, worked for the National Security Agency, and a good friend and a very, very intelligent man. And Gary, I just wanted to say I was 14 years old when your father got shot down, and I always thought, well, the Soviet Union, boy, they really scored one there, and they really used that as a propaganda tool. And for your father to go through what he did is amazing, heroic, courageous, and a true American hero. And I bless him for his courageous actions. And I also bless you, Gary, for making sure the true truth comes out about your father and what you're doing right now. Please go ahead.
Well, thank you very much, Phil. I appreciate those comments and nice accolades towards Dad. I'll get into some personal anecdotes here after I finish up the story for your listeners here. Once Dad came back home, was debriefed here before the Senate Select Committee hearing on March 6th of 62, Prescott Bush, Barry Goldwater Sr., and Senator Russell were three of the gentlemen that were on this committee. They and their colleagues exonerate my dad of any wrongdoing and show him to be a fine young man performing well under dangerous circumstances. But back in 1962, 2 years after the U-2 incident, a few months after Bay of Pigs, after the erection of the Berlin Wall, just a few months until the Cuban Missile Crisis. It was a very tense time in world history. And at the time my dad was exonerated, not a lot of the misinformation could be absorbed. It couldn't be clarified. And so all these rumors and speculations and different stories of what he should or shouldn't have done continued to circulate around then, and it continues to circulate around today. When I was growing up, I was always aware of my father and what he did for our country. He died when I was 12 years old in 1977 from a helicopter accident working for NBC Television. At that time, I was too young to really understand the significance of what he had gone through. I was very introverted throughout high school. I came out of my shell in college and started to do research. This research led me to the Washington, D.C. area in 1992. I attended George Mason University up in Northern Virginia, did a master's degree in public administration, nonprofit management, and started doing research on my father and the U-2 incident. Started giving lectures to high school students in the area. 9 times out of 10, I'd walk into a high school classroom to give a talk on the U-2 incident. I'd get blank stares from the students. They thought I was there to talk about the U-2 rock band, not the U-2 incident. And that was the first clue that something had to be done to preserve Cold War history. A few years go by. I'm invited to attend a Cold War conference in Buda, Norway. This airfield, Buda Aviation Center Museum up there, is where my father would have landed had the mission been successful on May 1st. So Buda, Norway is the end location for that mission. I was able to get a sponsor to help offset costs, went over for this conference, met Sergei Khrushchev, Khrushchev's son, met some international Cold War figures from America and the former Soviet Union, did a lecture there to the international audience, and came back home with this idea to create a permanent Cold War museum to honor Cold War veterans and preserve Cold War history. My first business plan said I'd be done in 3 years. Well, it's been 15 now, and they're just about ready to open. So it always takes a little bit longer to do things you want to do, but perseverance and a little bit of struggle, but we made it through, and it's going to be getting closer to opening here this year. With the Cold War Museum, we have been collecting artifacts for the last 15-plus years. We're trying to show an international aspect of Cold War history, including exhibits on the USS Liberty, the USS Pueblo, overhead reconnaissance, the U-2 incident, the Bay of Pigs, the Cuban Missile Crisis, and the other very important parts of the Cold War from 1945, the end of World War II, up through 1991, and the dissolution of the Soviet Union. So the Cold War Museum, after many years of trying to find a permanent location, has found one at Vint Hill. Vint Hill, Virginia, is a former Army communication base, 40 miles from Washington, D.C., used throughout the World War II and Cold War era to monitor electronic communications of our enemies. It was closed in the mid-90s by BRAC, Base Realignment and Closure Act, and then it was redeveloped into a variety of mixed use. There's homes. There's some retail that's being moved in. There's a winery, FAA hub, a couple of government contractors on site, as well as parks and recreation and swimming pools and other amenities. So this is a wonderful site, 40 miles from Washington, D.C., on an authentic Cold War historic site. The Cold War Museum has worked with Vint Hill EDA. We brokered a deal with them. We have a modest 2,000-square-foot exhibit space, two floors, that is now full of Cold War artifacts. And then we have another additional 2,000 square feet of storage where we are trying to process and determine what the displays and exhibits we can make from what we have. So it's been a long time, but we had a soft opening this past year, November, and we are looking to do the formal grand opening here in the next few months after the 50th anniversary of the Cuban Missile Crisis is done.
Gary, you know, I congratulate you on getting this done, and, you know, you think 1 year, 2 years, 3 years is going to be done. Just like you said, it just takes a little bit longer to get wonderful things and wonderful, you know, facts where they should be. You know, what I wanted to ask you, Gary, was I know you're a young child, And then your father goes through all this, and you were a little introverted, you said. And then when you became a man and decided this is what I'm going to do, did you ever think back to any of your talks with your father? Did he ever say, son, this is what the real deal is, and this is what you should believe in and not believe in? Or did he give you that type of advice?
My father and mother both, when I was growing up, instilled in me some very good qualities. First off, they taught me from a very young age that just because Dad is who he is, you're no better than anybody else. But at the same token, nobody else is better than you. You're all equals. You treat each other with respect, regardless of your position in society. And you always try to do your best. My parents never tried to force me to go a certain path. They always kept it open for me to decide on my own what my fate would lead. And so in the beginning, I was very confused as to what I should do because I wasn't getting a lot of direction. But then they always instilled in me, whatever you do, Gary, if it's a ditch digger, if it's a truck driver, if it's an astronaut, whatever the case may be the best at it you can. Do the best job you can. And so that's what I have always tried to do, was when I tackle something, I try to do the best job I can. With the Cold War Museum, it was something that had to be done. I was at the right place at the right time with some individuals to help found this museum. We didn't have a lot of money in the bank to begin with. We have a modest amount now, and we are looking to continue to build the museum so that future generations can learn and remember about the Cold War time period and what we went through.
Gary, what we'll do before this show's over, no doubt, is make sure that people know how to donate to the Cold War Museum, and especially in honor of your father. You know, your father, and I've read up on him, not in great detail, but in the heart, in my heart, the detail, what it takes to be a person, a pilot of his caliber, is unbelievable. It is to me a great, great, great honor to even read about your father and what he did for this nation, and is continued doing today with your great efforts with the Cold War Museum. Now, we have Ron Kugel on the line. I know Ron wants to get in on this because Ron is such a ardent supporter and shipmate and probably one of the best friends I got on this earth. And go ahead, Ron.
Thanks, Phil. You know, actually, tonight I wanted to talk to Gary just for a short bit, congratulate him for what he's doing. It seems like, well, we go back a ways. I think I sent some items to him that I hope will be on display someday. I even think, if I remember correctly, there was, I actually sent him original copies of letters I had from Thomas More, and, I believe a uniform that I had, hopefully that would go on display. What's really been just absolutely satisfying and gratifying to me is that the Official Naval Museum in Norfolk, Virginia, has taken one of my uniforms and has it on display right now. That's gratifying to me. It's not that the uniform has anything really to do with me specifically. It does represent the whole crew. I just happen to have a good, clean uniform that looked good. And, Gary, I just want to say howdy. Thank you very much for what you're doing, what you're trying to do to preserve, history. And when I heard you talking a little bit about talking in classrooms, I've done a little bit of talking myself and going to do a little bit more, quite a little bit more, in the state of Wyoming, traveling the state of Wyoming at the request of the governor of Wyoming to tell the story about the Liberty. And I have walked into certain situations where people have had the blank stare, and the YouTube rock group you were talking about. Anyway, I'll shut up for a minute. I just wanted to say howdy.
Well, thank you, Ron. It's good to talk to you again. I've been very privileged to have met Ron in person, have attended USS Liberty reunions in the past, have lectured to them about our efforts to preserve Cold War history and honor Cold War veterans. I can think of no finer group of men to have served in our United States military. Just like my father and his contemporaries in the U2 program, these individuals, like they do today, they put their life on the line, they protect our freedoms and liberties at home, and it's because of the sacrifices of men like my father, like the USS Liberty crew members, like the Pueblo crew members and others, that this world, this America is as good as it is, and we have to preserve that for our future generations.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, gentlemen, both of you, the great men still exist, and they join, they go in. You know, I let my sons know about the USS Liberty and what went on and what happened to me and my shipmates and their families and whatnot of being rejected by our own government. And my son served in Afghanistan for approximately 14 months and then spent 15 months in a wounded warrior program before he was discharged and retired by the United States Army. So what I get from this, and he knew what he was getting into, but he wanted to serve his country. The red, white, and blue flows through all of us. And I thank all the servicemen and women serving right now, but I do not wish them the road that my son went down in Afghanistan and is still working on today. Go ahead.
I don't know if that was feedback or something else.
It could be. I just wanted to get that in, that that young men and women do serve, and I hope you heard what I said, but I'm very proud of my son. I'm glad he's out of the Army. I'm not glad he's was in the Wounded Warrior program for 15 months before he got out, but he did get discharged and you know, retired from the United States Army because of his service and wounds. So, but that happens to many, many people. But it goes right back. This country is so proud and so happy to be part of the United States military. And then does the United States military abandon them? Yes, they do. They did it to us, and they will do it over and over again to the rest of them. And I hate to say that, but it's just the way it works. What do you think about that, Gary?
Well, it's a slippery slope, Bill. Governments, not all, just American governments, but all governments, have certain agendas that they follow, and the military personnel are pawns in a chess game. They're the ones that can be sacrificed. They're the ones who are on the front lines defending and our freedoms. But the policy wonks and the politicians at home sometimes will manipulate them for their own benefit at the detriment to their themselves. So it's unfortunate that happens. But hopefully after time and with the efforts of the Cold War Museum and other institutions, the truth of what took place will be established, will be documented, will be confirmed, and the misinformation and the rumors and speculation, or the disinformation for that matter, can be put to rest.
Say, Gary?
Yes.
I'm kind of interested in, I didn't quite catch everything, but the last I knew, you were, had a missile base is where this was all going to take place. Now there's another location, right?
Correct.
I'm sorry, I'm not up to speed on this.
No problem. Let me fill you in on what has transpired the last few years. Back in approximately 2008, we started to negotiate, maybe 2007, with Fairfax County Park Authority for use of a Nike missile base, Lorton, Virginia, about 20 miles from Washington, D.C. We had arranged for some donors to contribute money for the project. The county had put together a lease. We were negotiating the details of the lease, and all of a sudden it got to a point where the county wouldn't sign the lease without the money in the bank. The donors wouldn't give the money without the lease signed. So we were in a catch-22. After about another 3 months of trying to put this together, the negotiations fell apart. The parties walked away from the table, and I'm banging my head on my desk going, oh, my gosh, what's just happened? We'll finish this up afterwards.
Yeah, you bet. Thank you, Gary. You heard the music before I did. But, folks, this is a very, very interesting show. Show your support for America. Show your support for RBN. Show your support for RBN sponsors. And thank you. We'll be right back and with the beautiful music of Cat Faber. Thank you.
Are you concerned about fluoride, chlorine, parasites, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Dalton ceramic water filters have been made continuously since 1827 and are used by disaster relief organizations and in third world countries to supply safe drinking water. Not only do we offer gravity filter systems, but also under the sink and countertop systems. Our replacement filters can be used to upgrade your existing system. And unlike some other filters on the market, Dalton filters do not have to be primed. For more information, call us at 800-696-1435, 800-696-1435, or order online at Dalton.com. That's Dalton.com.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. TerraVim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from TerraVim? Simple. TerraVim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to TerraVim.com. That's TerraVim.com. TerraVim, the best supplements on Earth.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Well, the time has finally come for the story to be told that should have been listened to a long time ago. In 1967, on the 8th day of June, came the attack of the Liberty and the needless loss of many of the crew. And the Liberty fell like a wounded dying man.
Welcome back, folks. Here we go to Your Voice Counts. Thank you for being aboard. Support you very much in our efforts. and your efforts to call in, to listen. And, you know, we certainly at RBN appreciate it. And I know we got several callers that want to get online, but we're going to take them in just about 5 minutes or 7 minutes after the hour. But, you know, Gary, I wonder, growing up with an American hero, your father, and his outlook on life after what he had to go through in a Russian gulag, a Russian prison, did he come back with any severe injuries or anything from what they did to him?
Fortunately, my father did not go through any physical torture, so there was no ill effects of that. There was a lot of mental anguish, bright lights, spotlights, grueling questions, threats of death, sleep deprivation, and you know, interrogation tactics. But fortunately, there was no physical abuse. So as a result, when Dad did come home, he had some night frights for a while. He'd wake up in bed thinking he was still in the prison, and then all of a sudden realize he was back at home. And over time, it went from once a week to once a month to once a year to hardly ever. So by the time I was born in 65, you know, it was pretty much all that had it was put behind him. So fortunately, in prison, my father developed some type of a stomach problem where he could not digest foods properly because of the poor nutrition and the poor diet. And when he came back home, he had to have a couple of pills to help digest certain foods. So that was the only ill effect from his incarceration, unlike those in Vietnam and Korea and those who have endured much more brutal hardships. Dad got off very easily, very luckily.
Okay, now, Gary, how about the ill effects of the debriefing by the United States government on your father?
Dad was extensively debriefed by the CIA and by our government. At first, they were very concerned about the altitude that he was shot down at. Some of them at first did not believe what he was telling them, that he was at altitude at 70,500 feet when an SA-2 missile exploded below into the right of the aircraft. It turns out that there were some NSA reports that contradicted what my father had said, that the NSA had tracked the plane descending to a lower altitude or had monitored communications, Russian communications, indicating that there was a plane descending. In hindsight now, after 50 years of declassification documents and conferences and authors doing research on both sides, that NSA report, which is still classified, by the way, we are 99% sure that it is the SU-9, a Soviet plane that zoomed up to intercept my father, overshot him, and then had to come back down in a circular motion to land at the airport where he was taken off from. So there are things like this that after 50 years have finally been put to rest, but people will always continue to read the misinformation from 1960, from 1962. We used to look at microfiche machines, microfilm machines. Now we go to Google,
sure. Yeah.
Bring it up on front page, see the front page Washington Post stories from 1960, regurgitate the misinformation, and miss all the stuff that happened in the last 40 years.
Okay, Gary, keep that thought going. We got Ron Kukul on still, and we got two guests that want to come up, two callers, and ask some questions of you, Gary, and I hope you're up for it. Remember, RB.